This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Tree Lin and Shamila Ganesan. Tonight, we're talking about the spaces we live and work in and how the pandemic has changed the way we think about their design.
First up, the pandemic has highlighted the need for human-focused design. So how can we rethink our buildings to accommodate this? Then, cities are densely populated spaces. Is there a way we can spread out safely and sustainably? Finally, the great outdoors and why they matter.
So tell us, how would you like to see our spaces and buildings redesigned? What would you change? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is coming up to 6:08, and we are talking today, as we mentioned, about design and rethinking the design of our built spaces. Now, this has come about, like many other things, because of the pandemic. I think we've all seen the ways in which we've seen, in fact, our buildings, the ways that our offices have had to adapt. For instance, the conversations that we constantly have about ventilation, all those trendy open space offices. I think people might now be feeling a little bit regretful. So I think we wanted to take the opportunity really to look at how it is that we can think about redesigning and designing for the future.
Yes, because if we just look back at the last year and how much our idea of home and office have changed, I think we get a little bit of an inkling as to how this might end up actually being a permanent thing, because as of now, more and more people are talking about COVID being something we need to learn to live alongside. So if we talk about homes, the fact that more and more people are working from home, either all or most of the time, a lot of people are studying from home, and we're increasingly talking about the fact that this might become something we do off and on. If numbers are high, we might all have to go back to working from home. So what does this mean in terms of creating that kind of space? And then if we move on to talking about things like ventilation and the fact that so many of us live in apartments or live in spaces which are fairly close to each other, how do you ensure that ventilation is maintained, that we get plenty of fresh air? Because that is one of the important aspects of making sure that the virus spread keeps to a minimum. And extending that to conversations on different levels or different types of living, because as we know, we have these constant outbreaks in, for instance, workers' quarters. How can we ensure that this doesn't keep happening? What are we not doing correctly? So really, lots of questions. We are seeing people starting to address them, but of course, nobody saw the pandemic coming.
So you're thinking about work, right? And I think that work is a huge part of the question, partly because many of us have had to continue working. And so coming into offices that have not yet adapted, right? It's not enough necessarily to put sanitizers and to have the little thing that tells you you're 36 degrees when you are still in central air conditioning, when your windows still cannot open, and for good reason for that as well. So I think work is crucial. But actually, the thing that I've been thinking a lot about is home, mostly because I recognize how lucky I have been to have been able to have sheltered comfortably for the last year, because we've been told so often, we're told always, stay at home if you don't have anywhere to be. Stay at home unless absolutely necessary. But of course, for people who are sharing, for example, a very small space with very many people who still have to go to work, for instance, home is actually maybe not the safest, you know. It is also perhaps not the safest or best place for you if you are unable to have any private space at all. If you have, so I guess I'm thinking about it in terms of, I know that we can't all snap our fingers and change our offices and transform our homes, but as the conversation has now begun, as we think about designing for the future, as people recognize the importance of protecting their workforce and providing a safe place, we are genuinely talking about how to change design and how to future design. And so it's a good opportunity to ask, essentially, what would you like to change about the way or the spaces in which we work, play and live, right? What specific things would you like to see done? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Hood Bakker, Principal and Design Director at RSP Architects, to get his take. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 and this is Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the pandemic and how it has changed the way that we think about the design of spaces and buildings, right? Whether it's our homes, whether it's our workplaces. And we're just about to dive into that. But we'd like to know also, generally speaking, I mean, how would you like to see our spaces and buildings redesigned? What would you change? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us to discuss this very thing is Hood Bakker, Principal and Design Director at RSP Architects. Hood, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
So buildings and cities are naturally built to withstand a lot, but the pandemic, I think, wasn't something anyone prepared for. What are the gaps that have been revealed because of this?
Yes, I think all along, like you mentioned, this pandemic thing is something that we never thought of, and actually our design are not really catering towards that. But now we learn that there are certain changes that we have to adapt to in the design. For instance, we used to look at the public masses, large gathering places. Suddenly, we find that smaller gathering places are even safer than the big gathering places. So then we used to do mega city. Now, we probably need to do a bit more cluster city for better control in case if there's any pandemic breakup or something, you know. And then there's also, of course, the race for density. Lands is not getting any cheaper in the city, in town especially. So, of course, there's no choice but to build higher density to make it more affordable. However, in doing so, now I think developers and designers has to look at how to provide more open spaces, perhaps. Perhaps high-rise living needs to have a diversified open spaces rather than a centralized open spaces, you know, more decentralized spaces. Even up on the tower itself, you can have like a floating garden, for instance, in different places, so they can be used by different group of people or different families. They can book their place and then use it and things like that. So really, you know, this pandemic has actually changed our way of designing, and it will be there to stay, and it's just for the better for the coming future, moving forward.
Are you seeing a lot of interest in doing that? Are there conversations already happening about how we can rethink our buildings?
Well, I, for one, started some design that's actually incorporating this because this pandemic is actually recent. So we need time to also adapt to all this, you know, in the design. Of course, architecture takes time to build, as you know, take years to plan and build. So I think moving forward, you will be seeing more and more of this, which I hope the designers are incorporating for the better of the people living.
And to be clear, when we talk about changing built spaces and design because of learnings from the pandemic, how quickly can these changes take place?
Well, there are many changes, I guess, that needs to take place. A simple one would be like a home office. I mean, you know, because of this pandemic, now everybody's, a lot of people are working from home. And you start to do online discussion with them. You start to see their bedrooms, their living rooms, you know, their family in the background. So those are the easy ones that can be changed if you have a space, if you have a house. But there are other things like the building itself, like I mentioned, it takes years to build. It takes years to plan and to get it approved before you can build. So slowly but steady. But I think it is coming on stream. But the easier one, I think we can tackle that faster than the newer building, the existing building. I mean, we can actually do some adjustment to allow for these changes.
So let's get into what either the adjustments or the redesigning might look like. So one of the things that people keep talking about is good ventilation as a way to minimize the spread of the virus. Right. What has been the general approach when it comes to incorporating good ventilation in buildings?
Currently, I mean, we all in our Malaysian climate, one thing we're lucky is that because we are a tropical climate, we don't have really harsh winter and things like that. So I think it's important for us to have a natural ventilation incorporated, especially in the residential houses. However, in offices where you are in the tower buildings, you know, of course, it can get very hot. In your workplace, normally you would have an air conditioning. Having said that, I think the mechanical system has to take care of this by providing a better filtration system, using more HEPA filter, perhaps even using lights that actually can kill viruses and things like that before they release the air back into the public spaces. So on a tower like that, I mean, it's kind of difficult because you are working in an enclosed environment. But it's also good. I believe that moving forward, that even these towers, for the new building I'm doing at least, I'm providing now more sky garden where the people that are actually working on top do not have to come down to the ground. They can just either on their floor or move just a few floors and they can go and open and have a bit of a fresh air and things like that, yeah, in the office. And also, I think a lot of offices are doing it. I am for one, whereby the tables and chairs have been rearranged to be more space apart, to keep that social distance between yourself. And if you can, you know how funny it was, we used to work in a cubicle, and then open office system suddenly become the trend, and everybody go open office, right? Suddenly now we find, wait a minute, now we need to put back cubicle, or those that don't have cubicle, even put some plexiglass in between one staff to another in open office, just to prevent the spread of virus between one seat to another, things like that. You know? So yes, ventilation is important. It's easier to do in your houses rather than in a high-rise situation.
And let's talk about homes, right? Because the office isn't the only building where we spend our time. When it comes to homes or residential buildings, what sorts of changes do you think would be good to incorporate?
I think one of the thing, of course, is windows. You know, openable windows to allow for cross ventilation. We need this cross ventilation because it's for fresh air and things like that. At the same time, we know a lot of Malaysians live in a terrace house. I think because we live in a terrace house, your outdoor spaces are just limited either to your front or sometimes at the back. Sometimes there's none at the back. So perhaps one of the things that we can incorporate now in the terrace house design is providing a courtyard in the middle of the house where you and your family can have a natural light and ventilation at the same time. While you still have outdoor spaces in front, you have an indoor spaces that has this light and natural ventilation. That's one of the items that can be incorporated. And there is this thing as NACO windows, if you know what I mean. Those are the old style window where you have multiple blades that allow for ventilation, very good ventilation. But at the same time, if you have rain, it kind of blocks the rain. I think NACO windows, these multiple blades windows, it's also good to incorporate because you can sort of crack your windows and have natural ventilation, but at the same time, when it rains not too heavy, the water's not going to get into your house. Also ledges outside the windows so that you can just leave your window open again without having rain coming in if it's not too heavy of a rain, so you can get natural ventilation into your space. Now, these are some of the things I think you can do for residential houses.
And we have also seen a high number of cases in public housing as well as workers' quarters. What are some cost-effective solutions perhaps to improve living conditions here?
Well, the public housing has been designed all along, I guess, is also due to the cost. It's been designed quite closely placed between one building to another. This is another area we have to rethink. Now, I guess, is the time that we have to maybe space them slightly apart and perhaps in between have a bit of a landscape or some green area so that you do not have this very dense, many people living in a very small area in that sense. Another one, I think, is that we need to have public facilities. We all have to buy things. We have to go groceries. We have to go laundry, things like that. So this kind of spaces also is good, I guess, to incorporate within the vicinity of these public houses. So these people do not have to travel far, you know, that not, you know, the people, that the masses of people can just live within this area without having to travel far. And when you travel far, if there is any kind of pandemic cases, you will bring along the viruses with you. So the master plan level has to be looked at. And the block where we place the block has to be looked at. And the unit itself has to have, if we can, slightly bigger area. I think area now is more important. A bigger area is more important than luxury in that sense. So giving them slightly bigger area, it'd be good. More than one bedroom, at least if you can, two or three bedrooms, because we do have a case that you need to quarantine someone. That person has to stay in a room, perhaps it's at least two toilets, and then the rest of the family can still be in the house safely. You know? So from the macro level to the micro level, I think we have to have some to do some adjustment in how we design these public houses.
And one thing that's happened more and more is people working or learning from home, right? And this is actually changing this idea of a workspace. Many people may actually just work from home permanently. How will this impact the way houses are being designed?
Like I mentioned earlier, I think the room, the number of rooms in the house, you have to provide a space for the office. Be it a small corner, if it's a small apartment, or you have multiple rooms, then you probably can have a smaller room, small room to have a small office. Then your computers, your files, your books and whatnot can be in one place, in a proper place. And this is becoming, I think, more important. I think moving forward, people that buy houses will look for this because suddenly they realize they do need this kind of space rather than just a space in the dining space or in your kitchen or something, you know, to do your Zoom or your meetings online.
We've heard an increasing focus on mental health in recent months. How can this be factored into the design process for buildings?
Well, apart from the work stress itself, you know, design does, you know, can provide you certain calmness. So I think in doing so, designers has to, first of all, the space. It has to be, I guess, ample enough so that the workers do not feel so stressed out working in a very dense space. That's one. And also at the same time, colors, soothing colors, that helps a lot. Lighting levels, lighting level, which is just nice to give you certain calmness in a working area. And then the graphics itself. Even to a point where you label certain things in the workplace, those are also important. And I think the other one is ventilation, of course. If you can afford in a workplace, you have ventilation, that also helps. And open spaces, a space where one can go to take a break, break away from their work, from their desk, just have a bit of a break to give you that relief from your work. So some of the, I think, in the design that can be, design item that can be incorporated in the workplace.
Hood, we just have about a minute left. Now, to make all of this happen, what would it take to get that kind of buy-in?
I think this is a wake-up call for everyone, right? So it will be natural that people will start looking for this kind of element in their workplace, in their living spaces. So to get them to buy in, I think, is not a force from outside. It will come from within them. They will find that, oh, look, I need this, I need that. So I think the transition will be natural, I think, from this buy-in, that people will look for these kind of features in the design in time to come. Yeah, I don't mind sharing is also, There's also like a friend of mine that now wants to build a retreat in the mountain, for instance. This is a different buy-in because he thinks that if you get a pandemic, he and his family can just stay there and they have their vegetables there, they have their chicken there and so on. They don't have to mix around. So it has gone to some extreme as such to some people to take care of this. So naturally, I think human will react to it. And it's natural that this buy-in will come in. Yeah.
Hood, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
That was Hood Bakker, Principal and Design Director at RSP Architects, talking to us about how we can rethink design for our buildings. We'd like to know, as we talk about this today, how would you like to see our spaces and buildings redesigned and what would you change? Weigh in. We'll be back for more after this on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about essentially whether or how the pandemic has changed the way we think about design, particularly the designs of the places that we work and live in. And we heard earlier about exactly what's going into that. We are just about to address essentially what that would look like in the urban setting with the kind of population density that we have in our cities. Before that, though, we have been asking you, basically, how would you like to see our spaces and buildings redesigned and what would you change? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we have some messages, very, very detailed ones, in fact.
Yes, let's start with this one from Munif, right? So Munif says, the pandemic effects are isolation, loss of income, negative health effects via being boxed indoors for too long. Already present are housing development design issues, such as unhealthy filth-laced back lanes, which are also a nesting haven for strays and secluded enough for break-ins and other shoddy activities in the neighborhood. The architectural solution, redefine the typical housing back lane into a corridor of solutions instead of merely being a dump. Make them well-lit with presentable finishes, ergonomic design dimensions. We perform many activities at the back of the house, like laundry, drying clothes, cooking, cleaning, washing dishes. Make this back lane more welcoming and porous and encourage interaction, kill the isolation factor while making chores fun. It also has enough space for planter boxes to enable a form of urban farming. This reduces the heavy reliance on buying food to ease those that are financially affected. Not to mention, it turns these corridors into green lungs, traps airborne dust, improves health and air quality. Now that the lane is bustling with interactions and activity, it creates cross-surveillance to deter criminal activities. The bustling back lanes would also eliminate nests for poor strays to overbreed. A gazillion birds killed with a single stone, so to speak.
Munif, that's such a great point, particularly because I think it highlights something that is really crucial, but that we didn't, we maybe didn't talk about enough earlier, because we were looking very much at what buildings can change, meaning, you know, whether we can actually change structures. But what you're describing is really looking at a home as not just the structure itself, but beyond that, right? Looking at back lanes, looking at the ways in which we can extend or enhance, I think I would describe what you're talking about. And you're right. I mean, as someone who lives in a terrace housing area, it is true. Back lanes tend to be all that you describe, and they could be a lot more. I mean, the as described here, they could be places where children could play when it's safe for children to play together again.
Oh, I love just that image it brought to my head, honestly.
So let us know, in general, right, how would you like to see our spaces and buildings redesigned and what would you change? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we're going to be talking about essentially urban spaces and populations. So we are crossing over to Dr. Shuhana Shamsuddin, President of Pareka Bandar and adjunct professor at the Razak Faculty at UTM. Shuhana, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
So,
can you hear me? Okay.
Yes,
thank you
hi.
So much for inviting me. Yeah.
Now, what makes urban spaces particularly challenging when it comes to managing the spread of infectious diseases?
Before we talk about the challenges of managing the urban spaces, we first have to talk about whether we have designed a appropriate urban spaces for people to interact and to have leisure activities. So the need for urban spaces, there are two types. One is the urban spaces in the city center, and one is the urban spaces within the urban neighborhoods. And these two are very important spaces. So the challenges of managing these spaces depends on how you have designed the spaces. What I observe is that we do not design our urban spaces in a manner where we can establish the hierarchy of the spaces, so that you can control the higher the hierarchy of the spaces, then we can have the space to be bigger, where we accommodate more population, and the one at the lower hierarchy is like been mentioned just now by a courtyard, for example, which is only is to be addressed. So without having this kind of allocation or the designing of urban spaces with a with the hierarchy in mind, you know, so it's like it's very difficult to ascertain, you know, how many people are actually using the spaces, because and then if you look at the current problem in the urban mass housing, the outer-terrace housing scheme, there are no appropriate spaces being allocated, you know, to accommodate the groups of the people. So you can see, basically, the spaces are being provided based on the open space standards. For example, 10% being allocated for each housing scheme, and that 10% can be located just anywhere within the housing scheme. And it can be at the end or at the space where they cannot allocate any housing layout. So when you are not providing the spaces in a strategic location which is highly equally accessible to the whole population, then you will have problem in terms of the use of spaces. And if it's not been designed in a place that is appropriate for the needs of the population, again we have we see that the spaces are not being used. We have seen so many playgrounds which is not really being utilized by the people, simply because the playgrounds are not really accommodating the needs of the children. So we have, I think, there's a lot of problems that I see in the way we design our city, basically because we do not pay attention into urban design. We plan the cities and we have architects to build the buildings within the sites allocated, but we do not design the city so that they are well connected. They are actually translating the policies that's been laid out in the local plans to actual design. So this missing link is actually causing us most of the problem that we see now during this pandemic. And I haven't touched yet onto the problem of the low income group. You know, these are the people who are really affected by this pandemic, simply because they are, especially if you look at the inner cities, you know, in Kuala Lumpur, and this is where the breeding ground of the virus is, because they are all being crammed into blocks of housing, which is you can't really hardly breathe within the units, let alone when you go outside, you know, it's so crime and congested. Yes, they provide an open space, but sometimes the open space is quite far from certain blocks to be effective. So I foresee that we have to review back the way we design our housing for the low income group. We have to review back the space standards, you know, and we need an effective development control machinery which actually oversee the translation of all the planning policies into actual design on the ground, because the architects are actually working for their clients. They have the developer requirements to meet, and I think it's about time that we do not work in silo. I think what we're seeing now in the city center is a result of, you know, every professions are working in silo. Everybody is just taking care of their own thing, and this is why we see that, okay, once the planners have done the planning, then it comes to architect. They will just design the site, the site given to it, and then who's looking into the interest of the public in the actual design, because the end user is the one who is actually receiving this this building who's actually living in the kind of housing development. So I think this pandemic is actually it's a blessing in disguise in a way that makes us now think back. Now, we cannot just plan and build, but we have to look into the quality of the living environment and how this environment will help the residents to cope with this kind of disasters that suddenly come into the picture. Because before they, we never think that, you know, we would have to be in this kind of situation whereby ventilation, you know, good ventilation, access to greeneries and offices is very important for mental well-being and so forth. We see lots of people committing suicide. Then we are not, we don't, and the number of people, you know, who is facing a problem of stress and so forth, having to cope with this situation, can also bring more problem in the future. So I think once we are through with all this vaccination and so forth, and people are going to be able to now live, but we can, I don't think we can live normally just like we used to be before. Probably it takes about 2-3 years before we can easily adapt. But we need to do some kind of adapt. Retrofitting and adapting to the existing living environment, and also the existing city centers, so that we could actually minimize these problems in future when there is another pandemic. We don't know, there could be another pandemic as a result of this. So I think it's not a hopeless situation. So it gives us the opportunity to now crack our brains now to really review back and sit back and look at how what is the problem that we're facing in the city center. And I think it needs we need to work cross boundaries now. We have to work as a team. We got lots of expertise in this country, and we got the universities who are doing lots of research. They are good at doing research, and we have the professionals who are actually implementing things on the ground. But there is no smart partnership between the two. The research are not being transcended into the design, and the design are not being done with a research backing, so that you can actually meet certain problem. Like now we see now public health is an issue now when it comes to the designing cities. So we need more research into this. We need to actually come up with design guidelines and so forth. You know, how we can design all these spaces. What we're talking about, the living environment, and this research must be actually implemented by those on the ground. So I think we can no longer afford to work in silo now. You know, because the countries it's at stake now. I mean, if one group of the society is having a problem, it affects the rest of us.
Shuhana, unfortunately, we are out of time with you, but thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. That was Dr. Shuhana Shamsuddin, President of Pareka Banda and Adjunct Professor at the Razak Faculty at UTM. Let us know what you think about our story today, essentially. How would you like to see our spaces redesigned? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. After this, we're going to be talking about outdoor spaces. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:53. You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila, and our focus today is on the designs of the buildings and spaces that we occupy. We've also been asking you how you would like to see those changed. Keep them coming. This is especially, of course, in light of the pandemic. And one space that has become so very precious to us, even more so than before, is our outdoor space. Joining us now to talk about this is Ihsan Zainal Mokhtar, immediate past president and current council member of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Ihsan, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
So outdoor spaces, as we said earlier, have become particularly important. How can this be incorporated further into our urban design? Do you think that we're going to see more jogging and walking paths popping up in the city?
I hope so. You know, it's important that these spaces be made available to people, and they are vital to the health of the citizens, if you like. And I don't know how they will increase those spaces, but it's definitely a way out for those of us that have to stay home. But I don't know, with the latest development of the virus, it's supposed to be aerosol, so that might make it a bit difficult. But we have to adjust, I think, in terms of keeping our distance. But the spaces do help, and I do see the need to pay more attention to them.
And one of the challenges has been the green spaces, right? Because we have seen outdoor parks and hiking trails. Many of them have unfortunately been closed to avoid overcrowding. How can we keep making these available while also managing that question of crowd?
Well, definitely, like you said earlier, having more of those kind of spaces is important. Self-discipline, I think, is also a vital part of that, you know, just providing the spaces and allowing more people to actually be there. But like other aspects of the control, I find that maybe the message is not strong enough to the community to understand that that distance is important. But at the same time, they are, I think it has to be located more to the places where the density is higher, where the homes are smaller, and that also has to fall in line with the spaces being connected to other public spaces and activities. So, you know, there's a lot of, I think, communication, like what you're doing now, I guess, to make people understand as well that these spaces have to be used responsibly in order for the activity of the community to always be there. You know, it's not like just saying that, okay, now you have more public spaces, but you know, you've got to see that in the bigger picture of maybe what we call it, public health. Is that, you know? Yeah.
And you know, experts have been saying that being outdoors in open air is one of the safest places to be right now in terms of avoiding infection. With this in mind, are there potential uses for the outdoors that we can and should tap into?
Sorry?
Essentially, because being outdoors, being in fresh air is so important, are there ways that we could think about using that?
Of course. You know, you're supposed to stay home, basically. But being outdoor, and it's important to realize that I think what has been told to us that you have to have fresh air. The air has to be circulated well. So in line with that, you know, the spaces have to be in areas where there are less traffic. So it's still very much connected to the fact that you have to be in good open spaces, but the open spaces would have to be open spaces that are healthy, easily available, an area that you will feel comfortable and safe, and probably available at all hours as well. And now with technology, for example, I could probably talk to you even in a park, right? Rather than confined to the house. So though we want people to be keeping that social distance part of it, so this is where good urban design, good planning, the availability of open space, and it has to be an open space that is comfortable as well. So I think, yes, this part of it is very important as well. Yeah.
We just have about 30 seconds left. What needs to happen for this to become a reality?
I think the government has to do more. The public themselves have to educate ourselves. I think we really need to allow open space to be open during this pandemic, obviously. But we have to be in it and be responsible as well. You know, so we times have changed in that sense that we need to understand that we can't be cooped in the house. You know, this despite whatever normal you want to call it, humans need to interact with other humans. We need to be in good, comfortable, and safe open spaces.
Ihsan, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're most welcome.
That was Ihsan Zainal Mokhtar, immediate past president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners, weighing in on outdoor spaces and how important they will prove to be in post-pandemic design. So let us know what you think. What will you change about our buildings, our spaces? Keep those thoughts coming. We are now headed to the news. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.